Welcome to the Adopting an Attitude of Gratitude workshop. Will all who wish say the Serenity Prayer with me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Somebody has volunteered to read the anonymity statement. Now is your time. Yep.
Anonymity, like our abstinence, is a treasured possession. We ask the help of our guests, especially those representing the press or broadcast media, in protecting the anonymity of all members present or mentioned here today. We hope you hear something at this meeting which you can take away and use. We respectfully request, however, that you eliminate any mention of names in reference to members of Overeaters Anonymous and that no unauthorized photos be taken. This session is being taped and will not be edited. To be anonymous, you should use a fictitious name. If you come to the microphone to speak at any time during the weekend in a session that is being recorded, please sign a release form located at the registration table. Two Hatters, OA members affiliated with a related facility or other anonymous program, are requested to speak only to their personal recovery as an OA member at this OA function to avoid implying endorsement of an outside enterprise. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Who has the crosstalk statement?
I'm Hannah. I'm a recovering bulimic compulsive eater.
Hi, Hannah.
Feedback, crosstalk, and advice giving are discouraged here. Crosstalk during an OA meeting is giving advice to others who've already shared, speaking directly to another person rather than to the group, and questioning or interrupting the person speaking or sharing at the time.
Thank you, Hannah. And the unity with diversity?
As we extend the heart and hand of fellowship to those who still suffer, let us be mindful of OA's unity and diversity policy, which respects our differences yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Are there any compulsive eaters here besides myself?
Thank you. Just a housekeeping thing. Those are doors to the outside. So if it gets too hot in here, I suspect we can open those. So just say the word. I'm an old school teacher, so I think everybody can hear me. But if you can't, do this, and I'll speak up. I brought something to read only because I just figured I would speak, stand up here, and I'd go like this, and nothing would come out. That's never happened in my lifetime. My parents used to pay me 10 cents for 10 minutes of silence. I never made any money, but you just don't know. So Boo's going to keep me in the straight line so that I don't talk too long. My name is Lainey, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful that you came today, both to this presentation and to the convention. I hope today to be able to share some experience, strength, and hope, and to share some laughs and be encouraged by your experience, strength, and hope. Eileen emailed me, I don't know, sometime in the last week or two, and said, I need to know what your program is going to be so I can put it in the schedule. And I wrote back and said, you're presuming I have a clue. My higher power might have different ideas. So here's what I'm thinking will happen, but I'm not responsible. I think I'm going to talk for a little bit and share who I am and what I've done. And then I'm going to share a tool with you. And then you're going to use that tool. And then we're going to share what that experience is like. And then I think we'll have, then we'll see what happens. If there's time left, we can have some questions and answers if you have anything you want to ask. We can compile a group gratitude list. We can talk about what gratitude is, or we can talk about the Broncos. We'll just see. Oh, no, that's an outside interest. We probably can't do that. We'll just see how it goes. But anyway, that's kind of what I'm thinking this is going to look like, but I really don't have a clue. So just let me tell you a little bit about me. I am the youngest child of two alcoholics. I was extremely premature and sickly at birth. There's seats right in the middle here. My pediatrician, that's right, there's lots. There's more over there. My pediatrician told my parents not to bother sending me to school because I wasn't going to live that long. So today I'm happy to say I'm 61 years old, and that means I can tell you anything, right, according to Wanda. And so Nana and a boo-boo to him. I'm also the survivor of various kinds of abuse in my childhood, and all that adds up to a great chance for codependency and addiction. Because I don't smoke and I don't drink, I figured I had ducked that gene. Silly me. Not so. So I came into these rooms on October 10th, 2010. I'd gone for my physical some months before, and my doctor had said, you've put on 15 pounds this year. And I went, uh-huh. And he said, and 10 the year before. And I said, uh-huh. I'm a stress eater. It's been a stressful life. As if that was going to, you know, be the answer. And so then he said the magic words. He threatened me with cholesterol meds if I didn't get that weight off. Those are magic words to me because I figure my genetics are bad anyway. So to make it worse is not a good idea. So I decided it was time to get serious. So 7 months later, I went, well, I have 5 months till my physical. I better do something. So I white-knuckled off 30 pounds. That was pretty easy. I'm a really good dieter. How many of you are really good dieters? Uh-huh, for a short period of time. Then it all goes, right? So I lost 30 pounds, and then my son, who comes from a different planet, did some stupid things, and we had a big family, you know, to do, and I put on 35, whoop, like that. And I realized, okay, this is crazy. And I thought about crazy, and I thought, I have some crazy people in my life, and the only one, they're called addicts, by the way, and the only ones that found any recovery did it through 12-step. There were two out of everybody I know. So I wandered over to OA and said, sign me up. I'm so grateful. I got a sponsor right away. I worked the steps. I fired my sponsor because she had a completely different idea of what a food plan should be and what recovery looked like. And it was really ugly. And so now anytime I take on a sponsee, I say, we need to make sure we have a 2 or 3 month, no holds barred time where we can go, you know, Mary Beth, I love you to bits, but this is not working. I recovered from that, got another sponsor, worked the steps, found a lot of physical recovery, went through a 16-month relapse. Didn't bother me, actually, because I realized that my physical and emotional legs were like not, and I wasn't going to get the physical until I cleaned those up. So I worked hard on those, got my balance back, lost about a total of about 40 pounds. Life got busy. My father died, some other things happened, and I have to stand here and say I put about 18 of those 40 pounds back on, and I'm grateful. And I'm grateful because I got to go shopping and buy some fat pants, and that feeds my shopping addiction. No, really. I really don't do that anymore. I used to. But the reason I'm grateful is because it tells me very clearly when I had to go buy the next size pants, hello, wake up, you need this program, you need to work this program, quit being complacent, get your butt in gear and do what you know you're going to do. So I spent yesterday in the hotel room making plans for a new plan of eating that I'm actually willing to follow, and I'm so grateful for this weekend because my life has been insanely busy and I frankly just haven't had time. And so this is a weekend to be able to go, okay, remember the priorities, it's me and my program and my higher power in service. And I did everything but the last one. I did lots of service and none of the rest. So I've got to get back on track here and this will happen. And you know, I'm really grateful that this is a program that doesn't reject me if I put 18 pounds back on. I'm still welcome. So before I came into program, I ate over everything, but mostly over resentments and fear and shame. That was my life. Resentments and fear and shame. And so I ate all the time. And I don't eat because I love food. There are people in these rooms that say, you know, I can wake up in the morning and I salivate over X. I don't. I don't care what I overeat on. I overeat to numb out, pure and simple. If I were in, Huxley's Brave New World and there was a pill I could pop and that would take care of everything, I'd probably find another drug of choice. But I'd be really happy because I hate messing with food. I hate cooking. I hate shopping. I hate cleaning up the kitchen. I hate meal planning. Recipes, if it has more than 3 ingredients, forget it. I need to be rich and have a cook. That would be good. But I don't. I hate it. So I get a meal plan that's very repetitive because then I don't have to mess with food. I don't have to think about it. Life is good. But, you know, numbing out was the only way I knew how to deal with all the crap in my childhood and all the stuff that followed there. My addict parents clearly didn't have the tools to help me. They did their best, but, you know, addicts not in recovery are not the best role models. My dad died this past February. God bless him, and thank you, God, for taking him, because he wasn't having any fun. I wasn't there, but to my knowledge, his last words were, "Yes, I'd like a glass of gin, please." You know, I'm really hoping my last words are not, "Oh, could you go to the bakery?" You know, I grew up with expectations of perfection, a good image, keep the family skeletons in the closet. We were a very functioning alcoholic family. Food was plentiful and available. Weekend breakfast from a very early age was an enormous box of goodies from the bakery for each of us three children. I later realized the parents were probably sleeping off their hangovers. It wasn't morning until Dad said it was morning, and sometimes the sun was on the wrong side of the house. What do we know? I stole food from the freezer and learned to like frozen baked goods better. I, the goody two-shoes of class, learned to sneak candy in and eat it during school, and I went to school where that was punishable by getting the strap. So I was not a brave child. So clearly I was willing to take that for candy. That was crazy. When I babysat, I used to go to this British family, and they had the most divine stuff. And they put this platter out for me. So I'd eat half of it, because, you know, you can't eat it all. And then I'd find in the cupboard where the stash was and eat half of that. I have an amends letter to write. My young son and I, he was like 8, I guess, had to go and get hepatitis A shots because he and the older kids were on different school times. They were in school, he wasn't, and I needed to go and get my fix at the bakery. And as it turns out, the baker had hepatitis A. So my poor child had to get a shot in his rear end because I needed my fix. I made amends for that too. That was a hard one because he hates shots. So since being in the program and working the steps several times, I found that these promises are coming true and have come true in my life. I very frequently say that if I gained 100 pounds tomorrow and could never, ever, ever take it off, I'd still be a million times better off than before I walked into these rooms. It has changed my life. So the promise we're focusing on today is our whole attitude and outlook on life will change. This has indeed been true for me. And the primary indication of that is that I now live my life, most of my life, with an attitude of gratitude. Of course, my sister phoned me this morning to wish me happy birthday, and she said, "Do you feel older?" And I went, "Well, you know, I fell last week or a month ago, and I hurt my ribs, and my ribs still hurt. And because my ribs hurt, and I've been helping somebody move, my back hurts, and my knee hurts." She goes, "I'm going to call you Hilma," which is my grandmother's name, who did not ever live with an attitude of gratitude. So I shut up. So anyway, you know, I have a sponsor, and I am a sponsor, who encourages writing gratitude lists. At first, I focused on all the blessings, and I have lots of blessings in my life. But I kind of ignored the rest. It's like, that's life on life terms, and you just got to suck it up. But, you know, that slowly evolved. I had a particularly difficult few months with my addict, not in recovery, husband, and I had two choices. I could kill him, or I could make another choice. And so what I decided to do was to try to write a gratitude list of 500 things that I was grateful for about him. You know, it became looking like a microscope. You know, I'm really glad his fingernails are clean. And, you know, I mean, it got like that. But, you know, it was that or kill him, so I worked hard at it. And I've come to realize that for me, it's not enough just to be grateful for the good things in life. You know, I think I get to put this away now. Yep. Step 6 and 7 for me, I don't like the word, so I change it because I'm a brat. I don't want God to remove my defects of character because nature abhors a vacuum. I have this big, you know, and I'm already trying to fill a big vacuum in my body with food, you know, so this is not working for me. So how I translate it is, I want God to transform my defects of character. My defects of character, quite frankly, kept me alive when I was living in that crazy house that I lived in. I just outgrew them. So I want them to be transformed. And I think the same is the case with my attitude to gratitude. And so come on in. There's some seats right here. And so that's what I want to talk about is how do you have an attitude of gratitude when life throws you curveballs? You know, when life is good, it's pretty easy to be grateful. But what if it isn't? And so I got this little tool that that I've adapted from something else I read that's not program. So I'm not going to say what it is. If you're interested, catch me in the hall. I'll tell you. But anyway, it looks like this. And I'm going to give you a copy of this to work on shortly. But we're going to work on this together. And it works for resentments. It works for aggravations. It works for anything that bugs you. Okay? So you don't need to take big notes because I'm going to give you this. Okay? So I just decided that I'd pick a resentment that maybe you and I have all experienced. And that is, somebody cut me off in traffic. Anybody experience that? Okay. So the first thing is, do I have a right to be resentful? What do you think?
Sure.
Absolutely. I have a right to feel any feeling I feel. And you know, I grew up being told I did not. I had a right to be happy. And I had a right to be responsible for my mother's happiness. And that was it. I had no right to be angry, lonely, tired, any of those things. Nope. So I had to give myself permission to be, to hold a resentment, to be angry, to be, you know, just annoyed, whatever. Because if I have a right to have it, then I have a right to own it. If I don't own it, I can't do anything about it. I might not like how I feel when I resent, but I have a right to do that. So now here's the next question. When I feel resentful, how does that affect me? I don't really care how it affects you. I'm all about me. But how does it affect me? Well, I get grouchy. I say some bad words. I might make some rude signs. I might want to, like, sneak a little closer to his bumper. I might get a little aggressive. What else? Help me out.
Eat.
Eat, eat, eat. Anything else?
Tense.
I get tense. I need that massage. I get distracted, you bet. I might cut somebody else off.
Self-righteous.
I could kick the dog. I get self-righteous. I think I own the road, right? My road.
I might even perform some road rage myself.
Uh-huh. I'm running out of room, but that kind of covers that. Road rage. I might just buy into that, right?
And we're on the rest of your day.
Yeah, I'm going to carry it around the whole day. And not only that, but that gives me an excuse to eat the whole day, and maybe tomorrow too.
I get into my victim role.
Oh, yeah, that victim suit. It still fits, darn it. Somebody else said something and I didn't get it down. Before victim, what was that?
Shame.
Shame. Yep, yep, yep.
Judgment. All other drivers, they're all bad but me.
Yep.
Judgment.
You gotcha. Okay, we've run out of page, but I'm sure we're not running out of words. You have more. You will have more space on your page. You'll be glad to know. So the question is, well, what is the question? First of all, the question is this who I want to be?
No.
Not so much. Not so much. It's kind of uncomfortable and yucky, actually. So then the next question is, do I have a choice?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because, you know, if you don't have a choice, you're stuck. And a lot of us, I suspect, were never taught. First of all, we weren't taught we were allowed to feel. And then if we did feel, we didn't know we had a choice not to do something about that feeling. You know, an emotion, I think, is energy in motion. And it goes, and it hits me in my stomach, so I have to put something in my stomach, so you know. But it's motion, it's energy in motion. So if it comes in, it can go out. And if, you know, if energy comes in and goes out, then it is not such a big problem as if it sits in there, any kind of energy. That's as much physics as I know. So here's a real question. Who would I become, or what would I be like, if I could not feel resentment? God did not give me that gene. I could not feel it. All right, so I'm driving along the road. Somebody cuts me off. It is impossible for me to feel resentment. Who am I? What do I look? What do I act like? Say?
A robot?
Well, maybe. Maybe I'd be a robot. Somebody said something over here.
Happy,
I would be calm. I'd say what?
Happy, joyous, and free.
Maybe. Yeah, happy, joyous, and free. So I have to tell you, if you see my car out there, it's a white Scion, and it has H-A-J-F-O-U-I. And that stands for happy, joyous, and free, oui. I come from Canada, and oui means yes in French. So that is my license plate. It's happy, joyous, and free, oui. Yeah. So I would be maybe a robot, but probably more likely happy, joyous, free, calm. Maybe I would have a little empathy for that guy who's on the way to the hospital with his pregnant wife. Or his dad just died and he can't see because he's bawling his eyes out. Yeah?
I like to say that they're really anxious to get to work or that they have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's that empathy, right? We don't know, but we can make up stories. We are free to do that.
They're an addict and relapse.
And come on in if you want.
Okay, I'm gonna sneak in the
back. No, there isn't, but that's okay. You know, there's, you're going to have to snag a chair and then just come in the middle here. Maybe they're an addict and relapse.
Yeah.
We don't know that, do we? We don't know about that. So there's all kinds of reasons. And if I can't feel resentful, there's a place in my life for compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion. So how do you get there? Because obviously we have the genes for resentment. How many of you have ever felt a resentment in your life? Yes. So we have that gene. But if we have a choice, we can choose to turn it off. I think the way to do that is through gratitude. I think, myself, I know that the Big Book has fantastic prayers and techniques and stuff for dealing with resentment. You know, you pray for everything you want for yourself, for them, for 2 weeks, even if you don't believe it. You know, you say, this is a sick man, blah, 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 blah. All those are fabulous. I'm not discounting that at all. But it's not enough for me, because that creates that vacuum. I'm not resenting anymore, but there's nothing good. It's just an absence of resentment. I think gratitude is the antidote for resentment. And so I say, find the gratitude piece. For me, somebody cuts me off, my immediate thought is, thank God he's in front of me where I can watch him. It's way, somebody cuts me off, my very first thought is, thank God he's in front of me. So I can watch him, and I can back off, and I can keep myself, he's way safer in front of me than behind me. So thank God he's in front of me, is what I would say. So I'll tell you an OA convention story. Annie back there and I drove together to the convention last year. She drove. And as we went to somewhere to get stuff for the convention, because we had to get paper clips or something, I don't know what it was. She backed off. She backed out of her parking spot. Somebody else backed out, and they collided. So we said a few bad words and, you know, we did all those things. Weekend continued. It was fabulous. She dropped me off at her house. I'd left my car there. I drove home. I'm stopped at a stoplight because it's red. And I'm just stopped and I'm chilled and mellow because I've just done this all weekend. And this great, and I'm in a little Scion. And this great big Jeep hits me. Totals my car. My flower that I brought was like, I phone my husband, he's not answering my phone. I phone my son, he's not answering the phone. I phone my daughter, she's not answering the phone. I finally phone my girlfriend and said, would you come and get me? She's like half an hour away, she comes to get me. So we both showed up at the next meeting with a new car. And we were talking about that this morning as we were walking. It's like, where's the gratitude in that? We both got a better car than the one we had for about the same money, which we would never have looked for if we'd not been schmucked. So there's a gratitude for that. Now, I could have gone, but what would be the point? I still didn't have my old car. And I still have a nice new car. Well, not brand new, but new to me. So this is the process. And there's lots of gratitudes. Sometimes it's as bad as, you know, the Pharisee in the Bible who goes, oh, thank God I'm not like him. I mean, if that's the best you can do, it's better than nothing. It grows from there. So here's what I have to read two things. I forgot. Voices of Recovery, September 18th. I went to the bank, and I didn't notice friendly tellers. I didn't even appreciate that I had enough money to need a bank. I stewed over standing in line and complained if the computer was slow. At a concert, I focused on rattling cough drop wrappers or the mothball scent of the coat in the next chair. In summing up my imperfect life, I focused on poor me and what I was missing. No wonder I was unhappy. What a difference OA has made. I'm learning to look for the positive in everything. A broken dryer? Thank goodness for a close laundromat. Flat tire? I'm lucky it didn't happen while I was driving. Expensive prescription? I'm grateful to live in the day of antibiotics. Now when I look up, I see that there are far more ceiling tiles that aren't stained. Thank you, higher power, for my new attitude of gratitude. That is September 18th. Actually, on the paper I'm going to give you, I've written it out for you. And August 11th. An attitude of gratitude serves me best. Sometimes, though, I forget that gratitude is a choice. I can get caught up in negativity, resentments, or complaining. At these times, I'm focusing on the way things should be according to me. These attitudes eat away at my abstinence. I'm thankful today that I can recognize the danger of an attitude of resentment. Today I know there's nothing about which to be negative, resentful, or complaining that makes it worthwhile breaking my abstinence. We'll bring you a chair right here in just a second. I'm thankful today that I can choose gratitude. In doing so, my blessing list grows, and I can actually enjoy life instead of grumbling my way through it. Thank you, God, for abstinence. Thank you for gratitude. So, it is 10:15. Oh, gosh, I've talked longer than I thought I would. All right, we have 15 minutes to do this. Here is that chart. On the back is just a bunch of quotes about gratitude. I'm going to pass them around, grab a paper, and pick a resentment or something and write about it. Let's take about, I know, this is unfair, like 7 minutes, and then we'll have 7 minutes to debrief. Oh, here, we don't need to wait that long. Let me throw some in this direction. Just speed this process up a little bit.
Thank you.
You get me spit. Be grateful. Brush my teeth.
Thanks, Lane.
Anybody else need one? Did you go in, Cindy? Anybody else need some? Here we go. Here you go, Annie.
Thank you.
Everybody got one? There's pens floating around.
Just one of these.
On the back. Guys, on the back is the chart. No. These are just quotes. Pick a resentment. Pick a resentment in your life. If you have no resentments, lie and make one up. We're wrapping up, and I apologize. There's never enough time for these things. But you get the idea, at least. So we have about 10 minutes. I have to remember that we need to close with a prayer, so if I forget, somebody say, please, could we end with a prayer? How would you like to spend these last 10 minutes? Do you want to process this? Do you want questions and answers? What's your pleasure?
Maybe we could have somebody, a couple people, just read theirs.
I think that'd be great. Would anybody be willing to read their papers? Okay, Mary Beth? Here, I'll cuddle up to you and you can use the microphone. Go for it.
I resent that I was injured. My expectation was that if I worked on my health, I would be immune from disease or injury. Do I have a right? Yes. I didn't see it coming and I have a right to my feelings. How does my attitude affect me? I'm living in the past. I feel self-pity, paralyzed, angry, frustrated, jealous of the able-bodied people. I magnify my injuries. I want to leap ahead of the process. Do I have a choice? Yes. Who would I be if I could not feel this way? I would live day by day. I would not expect anything more than what I am or have. I would only be grateful for what I do have, and I would not be afraid of the future. The antidote, gratitude. I am grateful for my body's ability to heal. I'm grateful for each moment. I'm grateful for time to pause.
Thank you. Anybody else like to share theirs? I'll come around, Karen. Karen, right? Yeah. Oh, sorry, it wasn't. I couldn't read your name tag.
Oh, I'm Christy.
Christy, sorry. Okay, go ahead.
I'm Christy, compulsive overeater. My resentment, and I didn't want to write this down, and I realized I didn't want to write it down because I didn't want to deal with it, but, and it may seem. Anyway, my resentment is my dog's bathroom habits currently. Do I have a right? Yes, and I hesitated when she asked that. I was like, oh, I don't know, do I? So I'm really glad to hear that. I have the right to feel anything, and then I can own it. How does my attitude affect me? Anger, frustration, and then guilty. She's old, so I feel like, oh, I wish I would just come downstairs and she would be gone, you know. And so then I feel guilty, annoyed, and then I have an old resentment because she used to go in the house all the time when I met my husband. He hadn't housebroken her, so then I have a resentment towards him. And then it reminds me of my mom, and sometimes I call her by my mom's name because my mom has bathroom issues, and what my resentment is that she used to be really no understanding towards my dad when he had all those issues, and now he's gone, and now she has the same issues. Do I have a choice? Yes. What would I become if I could not feel this way? Compassionate. The dog is old, and she has been good for a very long time. Sympathy for my mom, too. She carries a lot of guilt now about my dad. She's always saying, I, it's clear that she feels very guilty, so I can have sympathy for my mom. Understanding for the past towards my husband. I had this cat that I let, you know, it was not good for years and years. So to judge him for having a dog that wasn't housebroken is not understanding. So I would have understanding. The antidote of gratitude. I'm grateful that she just started doing this and she's old, and I'm grateful that she never has diarrhea, so it's always easy to pick up. And I'm grateful that my husband is so compassionate towards all animals, and he lets me have four cats, and if he didn't have any compassion for his dog, then he probably wouldn't be very understanding about the other animals in the house, and I'm really grateful to have pets, so that's what I had.
Thanks, Christy. Anybody else? Okie dokie.
My name's Annie. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic.
Hi, Annie.
And about 7 years ago, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor, hence the ice pack on my head. And that causes me resentment sometimes, especially when I have pain. And do I have a right to this resentment? And I think sometimes yes, except that. How does this affect me? When I'm in pain, it opens the door for victimhood, and it keeps me from exercising and doing healthy things. But I do have a choice, and if I couldn't feel like a victim, I would be grateful for what I can do. And when I choose an attitude of gratitude, at times when I am not in pain, and then also being able to release the pain, really does help. So, and the funny thing is that medicine doesn't help, but ice does. So you might see me with an ice pack on my head this weekend, and that's why.
Thank God for ice.
That's right.
Thanks, Annie. Anybody else? Okay.
So, my resentment is that I feel very uncomfortable with my daughter-in-law. It just has been very hard for me. There were a couple of incidents that occurred just before they got married, and so do I have a right? Yes, sure, I do. Of course I do. But how does it affect me? They live 2.5 hours away. So it means that I don't want to visit them, and when I do visit, I'm tense and self-conscious. It also means that I feel that I've, in a sense, lost my son. And, sorry. And they're young, so there's a long life ahead. So what can I do about it? Well, I can choose to go anyway. And we're going to go at Halloween. I can ask God for help. I can lower my expectations, and I've gone before, you know. It feels like I've left myself at home, and I'm just kind of a shell. But I can just say I'm going to go and just do the best I can. I think what helps even more is that I know that she's been placed in my life to help me to grow. There's a reason why she's there. God put her there. I need to look at it that way. I can remember that, that she's fundamentally as afraid of things in her world as I am in mine, and that she needs love just as much as I do. And I can choose to think of God's love for all of us and try to carry that love in my heart when I'm there. I'm a therapist, that's my profession. And I love being a therapist because what happens in my office every day is just so rewarding and so warm and so easy. So I just need to remember that and go anyway.
Thank you. All right, we have 2 minutes. Just want to, I like playing around with poetry. And I looked at the word gratitude, and I saw a good recovery action to inhibit the undermining effects of destructive emotions. Anything. That doesn't have to be resentment. Anything destructive, we can counteract with gratitude. How many of you were surprised by how this changed things? Yeah, if you're interested, just because I had no idea how many people were coming, if you wrote all of your paper and you want a clean one, I have some clean ones here. So I'll just leave it on the chair here. You can, when they're gone, I can give you master. We can get it later. I'll save one for master. But I found it to be really powerful. And you know, after you've done it a few times in writing, you can do it in your head. So, all right. So I have to remember to close with a prayer. So let's do that. Let's close with... I think the 7-step prayer. Let's stand. We've been sitting for a long time. Get the blood flowing. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Thank you for sharing this time. I suspect we need to clear out because they need... No, wait a minute. That's tomorrow. I think we're in the same configuration. Let me look. No, we're good. We're in the same configuration. So the next session, which is in 15 minutes, comprehending serenity, knowing peace is there, and no regrets is here.
Great job.
Oh.